All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing with our half-year recap focused on the resource sector, mostly precious metals now as we are chatting with Dave Erfley. Dave is the founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie, joins us pretty much on a weekly basis to share his outlook on what's happening in the gold, silver space, as well as the equities. And hey, this first half of 2025, a great start of the year for precious metals, even silver playing catch up, but gold up about 25% this year. The gold stocks have done even better, I believe, than gold, especially at the tail end of this first half of the year. But Dave, this brings up kind of a big picture question that we were talking about off mic and quite frankly debating back and forth. That is, what is driving gold here? We hear about recession fears. We hear about this whole anti-America trade or rotation out of America trade, as well as all the other geopolitics going on. So Dave, in your eyes, gold continues to perform very well, but what's driving the price?
Yeah, well, since mid-April, the technically long-term extreme overbought gold price, it's basically been consolidating within a 10-week bull flag around 3,300. And I think a big driver is the U.S. They continue to do everything they can to drive down the value of the U.S. dollar. And that's keeping the gold price well bid here going into the second half of 2025. Look, we had central banks continuing to buy gold on the de-dollarization trade. And we had gold price go up 27% last year, and now it's up another 25% just in the first half of this year. You know, and it's basically growing unease over Trump's on again, off again tariffs and this tax cut and spending bill, which was just passed right before we started talking. And that's going to add up to $4 trillion to the national debt, which just passed $37 trillion last week, and that's on everyone's mind. And so it's led to a scurry of investor outflows from dollar-denominated assets in the past few months. That on top of the $4 trillion over the next decade that this is going to add, these numbers could be very conservative if there's a boycott of buying U.S. Treasury bonds, because that could lead to higher interest rates, which we saw earlier this year. So, and we got the Fed, you know, who's stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're terrified to raise rates because that'll sink the bond market. And they're terrified to lower rates because that'll sink the U.S. dollar. So they do nothing. And then they've got Trump on their case, calling Chairman Powell stupid, and now saying that he's going to replace cabinet, you know, Federal Reserve cabinet members before he can actually replace Powell in May of next year. Okay, we're going to put these guys on the board that maybe we're going to replace Powell with in the future. So all this is losing confidence in the government. It's losing confidence in the system. Investors are realizing that, hey, governments now have no impetus to pay any of this back. It's these deficits are going to continue to grow until there's a sovereign debt crisis, and gold just continues to move higher.
Well, and Dave, when we think about the stew of factors, yeah, there's been geopolitical tensions really since Ukraine started in 2022, and it hasn't really let up. But those have been a constant in the background, and there was some flare-ups, obviously, over the last month or so. But gold price hit record highs of 3,500 and some change, 3,509 on the futures market in April, before a lot of the Iran-Israel tensions really got heated up, but there was already that undercurrent. There's been the sell America trade and the diversification out of dollars and also out of euros, because the second biggest holding in central banks now is gold, even more so than the euro. And there's all the financial gyrations, not just in the U.S., but globally. You know, there's the China factor. That's what's going on in Europe. There's all these different tensions, what's happening in Japan. But if we pick all of that and we just put all of it to the side and just look at it from a technical standpoint, in the second quarter, gold had its highest quarterly close of all time. And the gold producers probably had their highest revenues of all time. So just from a technical standpoint, could it just be that gold has been in a solid momentum technically?
Absolutely. And it's rising, it's making all-time highs in all currencies. So that is hugely bullish. And like you said, we've had another quarterly all-time high close. And silver also just had a 13-year high quarterly close. It closed above that $35 level on a quarterly basis. And the momentum players are going to start, looking at this and say, and silver is a tiny market. And when you once you get momentum traders and big money coming into a tiny market, it can move it really quick. Now we're looking at the 3750 level on the silver price. But something also to consider is, we talked about last week, I think it was last week, we talked about the US going in and dropping those bunker buster bombs and saying that they've destroyed Iran's uranium enrichment facilities to make nuclear weapons. And they went in, went out, said it was over. And basically, none of the Iranian oil fields were hit. The Strait of Hormuz wasn't closed. So the idea of that happening in case the US was going to bomb, because, I mean, they controlled the skies over Iran, and it was just inevitable. And the market bid up the gold price, bid up the oil price on that happening. And then once it did happen and those oil fields weren't hit, the oil price cratered back down to $65 support. But the gold price continued to hold support around that $3,300 level. So that, like I said, that tells me that, when you have all this budget situation going on and this bill being passed, that's going to add so much to the debt. I mean, look, Trump ran on this platform of finally doing something about the debt, right? I mean, they formed DOGE and they said they were going to cut all this spending, and nothing became of it at all. And now all of a sudden, it's not a problem, and we're just going to continue to borrow and spend and do nothing about the deficit. And these interest payments alone on the debt will continue to skyrocket, and governments cannot do anything about paying down the debt, and the Fed can't do anything about it. So the Fed's trapped because they can't do anything about government spending. They can only react to it. And then, you've got, like I said earlier, you've got Trump saying that, hey, we're going to get rid of Powell, and we're going to do and maybe do it even sooner, but he can't do that because it's an independent body. So all this, gold's looking at all this and just consolidating those gains to 3,500 that happened 10 weeks ago, and with a bullish bias. And if you take a look at the gold stocks, gold finally came down and closed below its 50-day moving average for the first time in like 115 trading days. That hasn't happened in like, 10, 15 years. Gold was getting really, really overbought. It came down and closed below its 50-day moving average last week. Well, the gold stocks didn't. They held their 50-day moving average. And gold stocks are now leading. They're showing relative strength to the gold price consistently for the first time in quite a long time. So that tells you that the gold price, the market expects the gold price to remain in this bullish consolidation, waiting for a catalyst to take it higher.
Look, when it comes to what's driving gold, I don't think we can also ignore the fact that central banks have been buying gold for the last 15 years. And just in the last few years, the last 3 or 4 years, they have hugely increased their buying of gold. That helps. US dollar crashing this year, that also helps. It's just a good picture for gold. But then in terms of the stocks here, quite frankly, gold is kind of channeled sideways for the last 2.5 months. We have seen, at least in the last month and a half, rotation into the smaller stocks, and some of the majors have kind of slowed down some of their trends. Some of the outperformers I've noticed have also more or less consolidated some of their gains, moved sideways, which is what we do see sometimes when the gold price goes sideways. We do see money move down the food chain. Do you foresee that still happening then? This rotation of money, people locking in gains in terms of some of those outperforming stocks and moving down the food chain into the juniors?
Yes, it's happening now, and I expect it to continue. I mean, I've got several of the juniors that I'm invested in. They continue to bifurcate higher while the sector is correcting. So you're seeing outperformance of the juniors now. Quality juniors are outperforming the minors because they're so much more undervalued. I mean, miners are still undervalued in relation to the price of gold, but the juniors are so much more undervalued in relation to not only the price of gold, but to the miners. So I expect this to continue, absolutely. And if you take a look at the GDX, it's the most extreme overbought on the monthly on a monthly basis, long-term monthly basis, than it's ever been. And weakness continues to be bought. Because if you take a look at where the gold price is and you take a look at what these stocks are trading at, they're still trading like the gold price is below 3,000, while it appears to me that gold is attempting to create a floor at 3,000. And we talked about this last week about if you take a look at Newmont, I mean, they're going to be announcing their second quarter results on July 24th. And they're the big dog of the sector, right? They've been lagging the sector for so long. You know, the stock had to digest that Newcrest takeover, and they had to get rid of some of their higher cost mines. They sold several of their higher cost mines. So now they're lean and mean. I think they're down to like 10 top tier gold mines with plenty of reserves and lower costs. And they paid off a lot of their debt. They're buying back shares. They're paying a dollar dividend per year now. And if you take a look at their chart, they've got this 3-year inverse head and shoulders bottom that it's breaking above the neckline here while the sector is correcting. So Newmont's been leading. I think they produced 1.2 billion of free cash flow in Q1. The gold price is like what, $275, $300 higher in Q2, and their costs came down last quarter. And so even if their costs remain the same or come up a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised to see them free cash flowing 1.5 billion in Q2. I mean, and that's a yearly run rate of $6 billion if the gold price stays at, you know, above this $3,300 level. So that is huge. And like we've talked about before, it's the only gold stock on the S&P 500, and it's the big dog. And that's the stock, you could see it now, that retail is starting to get into because they've ignored this sector for so long. And even though the stock market AI's gotten back up there, you know, the crypto's gotten back up there, and you would expect to see some rotation coming out of gold stocks and maybe people getting back into AI and crypto again, but that's not happening. You're seeing the gold stocks maintain their gains and even add to them. So that is huge. I mean, we were waiting for so long for the stock market to roll over to get some sector rotation into gold stocks. And we saw that, but we had a V bottom in the stock market, and yet gold stocks continue to climb with the stock market now.
Well, Dave, with that kind of environment where the stock market's at all-time highs this week, the S&P and the NASDAQ, and then when you have the fact that crypto's become reanimated again, does that steal some of the luster from the earnings of this Q2 gold stocks that are coming up? Or better yet, has the market properly priced in Q2? Because we keep hearing it's all priced in, but I don't think most generalists are even paying attention. Could some of the earnings, not just in Newmont, which is the pace car, but some of the mid-tier, some of the other big seniors, could some of these earnings shock generalists?
Well, I'm shocked to the upside, I would imagine, yes, because if you see ETF inflows, Western ETF inflows are starting to rise now, finally. So that is showing you that Western interest is coming into gold more, coming into gold stocks more, even though, like I said, even though the stock market has, you know, eclipsed its all-time highs again. You know, I'm still of the ilk that I believe the stock market's creating this huge top. I mean, the CAPE ratio is about 37 now, and it's getting close to the dot-com bubble high. So the stock market continues to be historically overvalued, and gold stocks are still very undervalued in relation to the gold price. So there's still plenty of upside, even if the gold price continues to trade sideways above 3,000. Matter of fact, I would welcome it. I would like to see the 2,953,000 level tested, but I don't know if it's going to happen because there's so many tailwinds for the gold price here.
Yeah, I'd like to see these companies do something with, I guess, their cash, whatever they're earning here, because quite frankly, look, we can all forecast what their production's going to be and what the price is. Let's get them actually doing some stuff with this capital. What about the silver price? Because silver is clearly moving, I think mostly because, well, gold's been moving. It's playing catch up to gold. Yes, we can talk about all the supply demand aspects, but quite frankly, this just seems like a catch up to gold trade. And I know so many of the investors that are in this sector, have been in this sector for a long time, that is going into or that are focusing on the smaller silver stocks that, quite frankly, just haven't moved. Some have started to move. They're up 50, 60% just in the last month or so. But Dave, what do you think the potential is for these small silver stocks that really have been unloved?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's, we talked about this before, the single asset mines coming off that are being picked off by the majors, single asset silver mines, because they're so rare, and the juniors that are de-risking these large primary silver assets, they're really starting to take off. And like I said, they've bifurcated higher from the sector as the sector corrects. I mean, SIL just made a multi-year 52-week high. SILJ is starting to catch up, but I mean, look at the volume on SILJ last month was the highest volume in its history. So there is attention starting to come into these silver stocks, and the quality ones have really started to move. And if you take a look at the higher risk silver juniors, along with the higher risk gold juniors, some of the optionality plays that are earlier stage, they've started to move, but they haven't come anywhere near where these later stage juniors have already gotten to.
Well, Dave, when you think about some of these smaller junior silver stocks starting to move, a lot of people get concerned and say, oh, that may mark the end of the cycle. But really, silver is one of the few commodities that's never made an all-time high yet compared to most of the other commodities. I think there's one other agricultural commodity that hasn't. But other than that, all of the other metals, oil and gas, they've all broken out to new highs. Silver hasn't yet. So isn't there still a lot of room to run in the silver stocks when silver makes its journey to 50 and hopefully beyond?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the deficit continues, right? We're in the fifth year of a silver deficit. There's more and more applications for silver. AI, there's all these AI applications that need silver, the solar situation. I mean, and most of the silver that's produced, as comes as a byproduct from mining something else. So you can't all of a sudden have all this silver come online because there's a silver deficit. So, I mean, and that's starting to get more notice. So yeah, I mean, if the gold price runs, once it breaks out and it runs to 4,000, which is its next target, silver running to 50 would still keep the gold silver ratio relatively high at 80-1. That's another thing to keep. That's very notable here is the gold silver ratio closed below 89 here this week, closed below 90 this week. It closed at 89. So that's trending in the right direction. So while gold's consolidating sideways, silver continues to move higher with a bullish bias as it attempts to break out of its bull flag before the gold price. So the silver price still has plenty of catching up to do with the gold price.
How about a whole other commodity, copper? Copper's above $5. Some of the copper stocks have started doing well too. Just continues to be, again, a good environment for a lot of different investments, but we're focused on resources. A lot of good resource companies moving. Are you moving into any copper plays as well as the precious metals?
Yes, I have a few, and they're performing. They're outperforming. They're doing really well. And there's a couple on my watch list. There's one I'd like to get into. There's a couple of my stocks are very close to tripling, and once they do, I will sell one third to take my original investment out of the stock, and then I'll have more cash to put to good use into some copper stocks. And there's a couple that I like, and one is a PEA stage Copper Gold Junior that I really likes, but they need cash here really soon. So it's going to be interesting to see when they announce a finance, number one, how the finance is going to come about. Will a strategic be interested? Because their PEA was fantastic. So I wouldn't be surprised if they've attracted a strategic partner, and maybe they're working out something with a strategic partner to get more capital. Because if you see a company that is able to do a bought deal or do a strategic finance with a mid-tier or a major miner without a warrant, that is hugely bullish for the stock. It legitimizes the project to the market, and the stock will immediately start to re-rate. We saw that happen with one of my silver juniors that is really outperforming here, and that's Abra Silver. As soon as Kinross came in and did a strategic placement with them, the stock really took off.
Well, Dave, in an environment like this where gold is holding steady, the gold stocks are outperforming gold, silver is catching up to gold and outperforming it, the silver stocks are waking up, and even the junior silver stocks, and they still have probably some room to run. Copper just put in its highest monthly close, and it was back-to-back highs on the, as far as the quarterlies. And then platinum has woken up, and even other metals are starting to wake up. We talked about this before the call, but are we entering a recession here, or are we entering a reflation trade? What does it mean that all of these metals are rising kind of in tandem here at the same time that people are worried that the economy is falling apart?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, with all these worries about a recession taking place, I mean, we have negative GDP growth now, and we have higher inflation. We have stagflationary fears going on. We've even got the Fed coming out and basically saying that we're in stagflation. I mean, Williams, the one of the Fed head Williams, he came out and basically said we got low growth, we got slowing labor growth, and we got sticky inflation. And that's basically stagflation. But if we're going into recession, why is the copper price now rising above $5 a pound? And I think the reason is because of the tariff fears, right? So on the one hand, you've got recession fears, but on the other hand, you've got the tariff fears of people are securing as much material as they can before they're hit with tariffs. So it's really interesting how this is playing out. And also, you've got the dollar going down at the same time. So that makes these metals more attractive. And it's just a very good environment for not only the precious metals, but for copper as well.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here, Dave. It is a good environment for resources, commodities in general. And yes, we are hearing still a lot of those recession fears, but we're just not really seeing it in the data quite yet. And the markets aren't telling us this. So maybe it will come in the second half of the year. Maybe things will just keep trucking along. But as of right now, nice to see the capital also be focused more on commodities and even more so on the underlying equities. So, Dave, thanks for taking time with us on this weekend show. And everyone, thanks for joining us on the long weekend down in the US and celebrating half of the year. We are halfway through 2025. And boy, oh boy, what a headline-driven year it has been, and looks to continue on next week with all the headlines, especially around tariffs that will be coming. So, everyone, thanks for tuning into this weekend show. Please be sure to go back to our website, kereport.com, and search for our podcast in your podcast player. Just search The KE Report. You can also follow us on YouTube and through Substack. So, everyone, again, thanks for taking time with us on this weekend show. Hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.